This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now we do have Professor Sharon Lewin on air this morning. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm very well.
It's great to have you. You're the inaugural head of the Doherty Institute and you're based in Parkville, is that correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Fabulous. Congratulations. So we're very interested in what's occurring in the HIV space, especially from a treatment point of view and a cure point of view. Are you able to give us a quick brief on those?
Yeah, of course. From a treatment point of view, we've had excellent antivirals now for a couple of decades, and they continue to get better and better, meaning easier to take, and now...
And less side effects, I presume?
Fewer side effects, and often multiple drugs in the one tablet, so people can take one tablet a day. And the big change in treatment in the last, 24 months has been that really we recommend everyone with HIV gets treated at any stage as soon as it's diagnosed, and the benefits are really very significant. The sort of future, if you look into the future, what might be coming down the track in the research world is at the moment all our treatment is tablets, but many companies are now working on injectable antiviral drugs, so maybe in the future, people may have the option or choice if they wanted to have an injection every 3 months instead of taking a tablet a day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's sort of lot of work being done on that and some pretty exciting results.
Well, one of the challenges, Sharon, is, and we were talking to Max Niggle about from the Living Positive Speakers Bureau and about World AIDS Day, there's some big medical advances, but we're actually seeing some spikes in groups. And he said in the latest figures that 19% heterosexual, and which in itself is troubling because that used to be in the single figures, but that also amongst young Indigenous men, there's a 50% increase. Is this because people, well, one, don't think the person that they're having sex with has HIV, they're not practicing safe sex, and even if they do, even if they're factoring that in somehow, I don't know how, but they're working on the basis that the treatments, are pretty good and they're not going to suffer side effects and they'll live longer, or is that a bridge too far?
Yeah, I think it's really important to remind people, and I think I'm sure many listeners, that although the treatments are excellent, treatment is lifelong, and a diagnosis of HIV is still a very big deal in someone's life and something that people need to live with forever because we don't have a cure. Why we're seeing these increase, particularly in the number of HIV reported in Indigenous populations, is a real concern. This year, probably the statistics have reminded us that this is a real issue that we need to pay attention to. And I think to guide the policy, we need to understand it better. You know, why is this happening? Why aren't these messages of prevention getting to the populations at risk? And a bit of work needs to be done around that to make sure we're doing, got the most effective intervention.
Neil Mitchell, Sharon, good to talk to you. We're talking about the 19% heterosexual increase. Any idea of the gender breakdown of that?
I don't have those figures at my fingertips at the moment. HIV still remains rare in women in Australia. Less than 10% of diagnoses in Australia are in women, which is in contrast to the rest of the world when over 50% of diagnoses are in women, because in countries that are really significantly affected by HIV, it's in the heterosexual population. And in the diagnoses of people from who are heterosexual in Australia, many are in people who come from countries where HIV is endemic, where, you know, very high rates in sub-Saharan Africa, etc. Again, the message needs to be out there that, you know, no one is immune from HIV. HIV doesn't, you know, everyone needs to be aware and make sure they take appropriate measures to protect themselves from it.
I guess the holy grail is to make HIV smallpox vaccination, get rid of it, wipe it off the face of the planet. What are we doing to get there?
Yeah, we're a long way from wiping it off the face of the planet, but some really big advances in treatment, so that really we should no longer be seeing people who have AIDS, because if you go on treatment, you can prevent getting sick from HIV. And globally and in Australia, the number of AIDS diagnoses is decreasing, but actually it's still a million a year globally, and that means that people are not accessing treatment. That's definitely something we can do about. With smallpox, as you say, it's one of the few infections that we have been able to eliminate, and that was with an effective vaccine. Don't have a vaccine for HIV, but we've got some other very, very good ways of preventing getting infected. And one of those is something called PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. Don't yet have that funded in Australia, but we're hoping that will come soon.
I want to ask you, Sharon, and it's not a political question. It might sound political, but it's not.
Alarm bells, Sharon.
Is there...
Be warned.
Is there
I'm ready.
Okay. Is there enough money being spent in Australia on education, prevention and research around HIV?
Yeah, look, you know, the easy answer to that, and I'm not a politician, of course, is that we can always do with more money. And I think everyone who works in any disease always says that. I think the issue with HIV, and particularly with infectious or transmissible diseases, is that if you take your eye off the ball and you stop funding prevention and education and research, you're always at the risk of something like HIV or infections dramatically increasing because it's transmissible. And so we've done well in Australia. We've still got a challenge in that we have 1,000 new infections a year, and we haven't managed to budge that number. Other countries are seeing declines in HIV. We haven't seen that yet. So I do think we need to do more. I also think that, you know, HIV affects, you know, 37 million people living with HIV, but 80% of them live in low-income countries, most in sub-Saharan Africa. So Australia has brilliant research facilities and capabilities to make a real contribution in finding a vaccine or a cure, and that does take investment. And it's something I think Australia can make a big contribution towards.
So prevention is one of the things that we did talk about as well. And given that PrEP is a incredibly effective preventative intervention, why is that not being funded? What are the politics around that?
Well, just for your listeners, they may know that last year the PrEP was approved for use for prevention,
yes,
meaning taking an antiviral drug to prevent getting HIV, but the government decided not to fund it because most of our medicines are, of course, funded by the government, and we pay a minimal amount of what they really cost. And when they make those decisions, and the committee that makes those decisions really weighs the benefit and cost very, very carefully. And I think we do have a great system in Australia so that we can get medicines for free, and that the government always makes sure it's cost effective. And I think it is still going to be a big discussion between the company, Gilead, that make the drugs, and what the government's prepared to pay. And those discussions are continuing. They're happening actually in lots of countries, and I think the evidence so far says that the drugs have to cost a little less to really make it cost-effective. And I'm confident we're going to get there, but that's an ongoing conversation with Gilead at the moment.
I'd wonder, with the cost of a HIV infection to the health system, and I'm a bit out of touch with what it is currently, it used to be around $500,000 in that person's lifetime as a minimum. You would think that it would be a pretty easy calculation to make.
Yeah. It's not that easy, because you've got to also look at the number of people you need to treat to prevent an infection, the costs of that, the costs of the monitoring. So it's quite a complicated, it is quite a complicated calculation, but it's what this committee does all the time when they approve drugs. And I think the conclusion was that the drugs need to be cheaper in order to properly fund it. Remember, when you fund a program like this, it also comes with all of the support system of monitoring and prescribing and all the sort of health systems around. It's not just the drug. That's not saying this is definitely a cost-effective intervention. PrEP is cost-effective, but it's always reviewed in the context of your own health system. And other countries are going through this exact discussions with Gilead. And I think, as I said earlier, I do think we're going to get there in the end. In the meantime, state governments have stepped up, certainly in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, in providing access through demonstration projects. And, the interest in those have just been huge, meaning the numbers of people at risk who want to access and are eligible for PrEP has been really significant. And the state governments have stepped in, but in the end, this is something that I think the Commonwealth government is going to need to fund.
Sharon, we're almost out of time. Are there any final words that you can give us on what's on the horizon around a cure for HIV?
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of scientific interest and I think increasing investment in finding a cure. We don't have a cure at the moment. Everyone needs to take treatment lifelong. As soon as you stop treatment, the virus comes back. Lots and lots of different things being tested. And some of the areas that look promising are around very early treatment that can help in that it reduces the amount of virus that persists on treatment. There's some exciting advances in gene therapy. That's pretty high-tech stuff, but those approaches do look promising. And big investment in trying to increase people's immune systems to keep HIV under control, either through vaccines or other drugs that boost immune function. And I think over the next 5 years, certainly in Australia, we'll have many opportunities for people who are interested in this area to participate in clinical trials. I think we're, unfortunately many years off an actual cure, but...
I was hoping that you're actually saying that in the next 5 years we could see something on the horizon, but what you're actually saying is that in the next 5 years there'll be opportunities for people to participate in trials.
I still think we're at that stage.
Yeah, look.
This is not going to be an easy infection to cure. In the meantime, we've got great treatments that people should access and stay on. But there is investment. Great advances in medicine come through investments in the science and research. That's how we got antiviral therapy, and I really remain hopeful.
Well, that's a fantastic message. That's a fantastic message to leave this interview on. There are great trials out there, and anybody who has HIV should actually be on one of these treatment programs as we speak. Professor Sharon Lawn, thank you very much for your time this morning. All the best for World AIDS Day and the great work that you and your organisation are doing in the HIV/AIDS space.
Thanks very much. A great pleasure.
Cool. That was Professor Sharon Lewin from the Doherty Institute.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.